divert from Romans this morning to go to a little passage of Scripture that I've used in the past, but I want to use again. And it's 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 10. There's just going to be some thoughts. For Miss Nikki and for our church this morning. This is probably some of the best days that a church can ever experience. Really, it is. Because we are able and have been able to, by the grace of God, and see in our day, in this small congregation, we have sent missionaries to Costa Rica, to Mexico, to Africa a couple of times. This will be the second time, I believe. I think Danny's been to other places. Though it's bittersweet in some aspects, it is glorious. It is only bittersweet from the human perspective of distance and time. But we are on the verge of seeing just great things. I don't know if you understand how great this is. Because we, in a matter of a week, will be seeing the gospel go into Africa, Mexico, and Costa Rica in 1 week. June 6th, they split up. June 8th, we're going. It's phenomenal. Beloved, I feel like my whole ministry here is to lead us to this. That's what I want to see more than anything. And so I want to speak not simply to Nikki, but I want to speak to the church. And it's from these words that I was considering just this week, and I'll make our comments brief, but they're necessary from 2 Timothy. Paul writes to young Timothy, a pastor, and he writes in verse 8, he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which," that's the gospel, "for which I am suffering." I'm suffering for what? The gospel. "Bound with chains as a criminal." But then these phenomenal words, "But the word of God is not bound. Therefore," because of that, "I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." When we have this mission and commission before us to go tell, I think of these words that Paul the Apostle, the mentor, writes to the student. He says, "I want you to remember something." To remember means to not forget it. To remember is to keep it on your mind, to keep it fresh. Don't let it slip your mind. Always keep it before you. What is he saying to keep in mind? He is not saying to keep the latest fads. He's not saying to keep the latest gadgets and gadgets. He's not saying to keep the latest philosophies of ministry before you, the techniques, the programs. He is saying this, and this is what is going to encourage Timothy in the midst of difficult days of ministry. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ." To forget the realities of Jesus is to make ourselves vulnerable to every type of error that comes along. To forget the reality of Jesus is to destroy the gospel. So Paul says that this Jesus is what I preached in my gospel. Paul is not exhorting Timothy to believe in just a concept about God. He is not pushing theories. He is not pushing hypotheticals. He's not endorsing a mythical character. He is not endorsing myths. But he is saying, I want you to remember, Timothy, what is real. Remember the realities. The realities of Jesus Christ, specifically, as Paul says, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the offspring of David. Any mission that we do, anything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ must be done while remembering Jesus, that he is raised from the dead and that he is of the offspring of David, meaning raised from the dead, he is very God of very God. Offspring of David, that he is 100% man, bearing our sin, knowing our temptations, feeling the sting of earth and life and what it means to be a human being. To remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, assumes a couple of things. It assumes, to remember Jesus, risen from the dead, assumes that Jesus really lived, first of all. And lived he did. Oh, lived he did. In a sinless life, in a perfect keeping of God's holy and righteous law, procuring the infinite obedience for his people that would ever believe upon him, an obedience that has been credited or will be credited to the believer's account. Oh, lived he did. To talk about Jesus being raised from the dead mean that he had to live. And he lived upon this earth. Philippians 2, Paul would say that he came down, who was in the form of God. He did not thought equality with God a thing to be grasped, but became in the form of a servant, a form of a man. He became a man. He became a servant. And he took upon him death, the most shameful death, that of death on the cross. For him to be raised means that he really had to live. And for him to be raised assumes that Jesus really died. And died he did. As sinners, he died as a sinner's substitute. The vicarious sacrifice, a sacrifice procuring an infinite punishment for his people. Remember Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead. The fact that Jesus is risen from the dead validates his sinless life. It validates his substitutionary death. It validates his teachings. It validates his personal testimony that he is the Son of the living God. It validates his commission to go and tell. His authority, Christ's authority, comes in every word that he speaks. It comes in every command that he issues. It comes in every miracle that he performs. The authority that only God has to be able to command such a mission that we're talking about today. Now you may go to Africa for pleasure, for recreation. But Nikki has felt the call to go for the pleasure of God. Let me say to Nikki and to this church that a myth will not propel you to go. And it will not keep you. It will not keep you there. A fairy tale will not propel the church to go, and it will not keep you there. What propels you and what propels the church and what propels any other Christian to go and to do the hard missions is not the applause of man. It's not the approval of people. It's not the acceptance of the church. It is the reality of Jesus Christ risen from the dead of the offspring of David. That's it. That's it. Risen from the dead
revealing in Romans 1:4, proven to be the Son of God because he was raised from the dead. Of the offspring of David, going all the way back to 2 Samuel, saying that we're expecting this one person to come along who is Messiah, King, is Jesus. God gave up all the glories of heaven to take upon himself the form of a man. It is the truth that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Paul tells Timothy, don't forget it. Because that's what's going to keep you here. It is the fact that he is the promised Messiah. That reality, these realities, that's what's going to keep you here. The fact that he was raised from the dead means he lived, he actually died. And everything that he did was beautiful for sinners. It is a truth. It is a truth that his death killed death. His death killed death. When Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, it is used in such a way in the passive voice that somebody rose him from the dead. He was raised from the dead by God. Perfect tense, which means something that was done in the past, but has continual results now. Get this picture. That when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised by the power of God. And when he was raised then, it has still abiding effects now. That means when he was raised then, he's still raised now. Nothing's changed. The victory that the disciples felt on that day is the victory we feel today. The resurrected Christ that they saw then is the resurrected Christ we see now in the Scriptures. His death killed death. And it is the truth that his life brings life. That's what propels you to go. That's what keeps you there. What will keep you on the mission when you're lonely? You're homesick. You miss the comforts. It's the fact that God has commissioned you. He has commissioned you to go. And he has commissioned you to speak of the treasure of Jesus Christ to his people. Who will believe upon him. To sinners who are in need of Jesus Christ. To every tribe. The every tribe. The every tongue. The every nation. The every language is about to become real to you. Am I the only one that sees this? It's about to be real. What he's talking about in Revelation, when all of these will lift their voices up to God, one day in the glorification of the saints, we'll have them from every tribe, every kindred, every nation, every language. She gets to see that. She gets to be a part of it. She gets to watch people come to know Christ. They can't speak our language. They don't live in our land. Every tribe, every language, every nation, every tongue, you are embarking on a mission that has been on the mind of God from the foundation of the world. Overwhelming. She is embarking on a mission that God has been thinking about from the foundation of the world. No accident. No accident that we're here today. No accident that we commission her. No accident that we send her off. In his perfect timing, he has raised up one to go. And we send. The church has not called you to go. God has called you to go. The church recognizes and endorses you as God's ambassador to go. So go.
Go tell the child in poverty about the riches found in Jesus Christ. As Paul would say, he who was rich became poor so that you may be rich. Go tell that mom with sickness in her body the healing powers of Jesus Christ. Not only physically, but spiritually. Go tell that man with a hardened heart of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Go tell them. Go tell that woman who is destitute of the inheritance found in Jesus Christ. Go tell. Don't look back till you've completed the mission that God has given you to do. Don't look back. The world know, as Paul says, remember Jesus Christ, risen and still raised, was living and is still alive, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. There's no other message. You can't Americanize them. The people that will be there need to hear the gospel. And he says, for which I am suffering. This gospel he's suffering for, bound with chains like he was a criminal. A man doing the greatest good is bound like he's a criminal. A man who is given the greatest message, the greatest news, is as if, and he's being treated as if he's given the worst news that he could ever give anybody. Someone has written, when you are tempted to avoid pain and humiliation and suffering or death in your ministry, remember Jesus Christ and think again. That's why we have to do this. Paul did not think it strange to suffer for Christ. The early church did not think suffering was out of line with Christianity, but it was part and parcel of it. There may be physical illness. You just don't go 13 hours away, wherever long she's going, and not consider these things. There may be physical illness, body aches, headaches, and goodness knows, stomach aches. And they're telling what she's going to be eating. And what's eating her? Weariness, sleeplessness. But I would say that Jesus is worth it. So are these people. This is a risk worth taking. It's a message worth telling. It's a people worth saving. And it's a inheritance worth embracing. Why is it that the question arises from the lips and the minds of those, quote, Christians who make the most ridiculous statement I could hear them make? Why are you going over there? The question is not, why are we going? The question is, why aren't we going? Someone told me, you know, talking about it, going on a cruise. See, if you go on a cruise, you don't have to go to Costa Rica. I want to go. I don't need a cruise. I'm not saying I won't ever take one. Highly doubtful. I don't want to, really. But I wouldn't give up that to go float. Why? Because there's a mission. That's what's wrong with the church. They can't grasp in their minds how somebody would give up so much of the American dream to do something like this, because Christ is worth it and the people are worth saving. The struggle of the mission, the labor of this mission, it's worth it because you're taking the word, as Paul says, that is not bound. Take every missionary, lock them up, chain them up, and we would think that they had curtailed the gospel. The lost world would say, we've done it, we've killed it, we've destroyed it. Just lock everybody up, kill all the missionaries. And God comes along through the Apostle Paul, says, they're bound, but God's word is not bound. God's word is not free to go out because our government is free. God's word is free to go out because it's God's word. A word that no man and no government, no system can strangle. There is no closed country for the gospel. It just depends on whether or not you're willing to go to those places to do the hard mission. When Jeremiah was cast into prison, the scripture says that the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah while he was shut up into the court of prison. He's in prison. He's bound. He can't go anywhere. The word of God is not bound. It came to him. You can't kill God, and you can't kill God's word. Tell it with authority. Throw it as a spear. Let it encourage and let it rebuke and let it correct and let it teach, let it cut and let it heal as God wants to do it. Just tell it. You don't have to worry about if the grammar is perfect. You don't worry about if you stutter. You don't have to worry about if your style is just right. Just tell it. You don't have to worry about if there's trembling in your voice. Why? Because the word is not and will never, ever be bound. It is a devouring flame. It is a crushing hammer. It is a saving power. It is a defensive weapon. It is a probing instrument. John Bunyan was in prison for 12 years in England for preaching without state approval. And the cell window faced a high stone wall that surrounded the prison, making it impossible to see into or out of his cell for 12 years. And on many days, however, he would preach loudly enough for his voice to be heard on the outside of the wall where hundreds of listeners, believers and unbelievers, eagerly waited for the proclamation of God's word, which was unconfined by the stone walls and the iron bars. So we send Miss Nikki out, and we send her out with confidence. We send her out with gratitude. This is no easy mission. So we can't afford, and I believe it will be a sin upon the church if we do not pray incessantly for her. I believe it is the church's sin if we don't do so. So before we pray over her, consider these words. She doesn't go as someone who is unprepared. She goes as a child of God, under the commission of God and His authority, the authority of God. And we get to be a part of this process, don't we?